Hi there, listeners. I know we said that our previous episode was going to be our last on Watson's Trending Globally channel, but turns out that's not actually the case. We will be transitioning to a new podcast feed this fall, though. We'll keep you posted when that happens. In the meantime, welcome to a special summer edition of The Mark and Carrie Show. There's so much to talk about.
And we're why are we here? Well, actually, here's the first one. Why are we here? Why are we so lame that we're able to do this?
Because we can't wait till the fall. We're so excited to talk about world and global events.
Yeah, it's more to do with the fact that I've just got too much work to do and I can't get to go anywhere.
Oh, and okay. You? So no motivation. I work during the summer. I have to be in my office during the summer. As the world turns.
Yeah, it certainly does. Where do you want to start? What are we going to do with?
You.
I know.
I'm rusty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get back in the swing here. Boris Johnson.
Well, welcome to the world of...
Boris.
Of leaders with outstanding hair.
Exactly. He is... I love the fact that Trump said he was Britain Trump. He didn't even use, like, the possessive.
Yeah.
Britain's Trump. Yeah. Britain Trump.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll stick. So what do you want to know?
I mean, he went and talked to the Queen this afternoon or like a few hours ago.
That must have been great. That must have been the two poshest accents in human history getting together in the one room.
I mean, I don't want to start off on this kind of footing, but I mean, her first prime minister is Winston Churchill.
Right.
And now she's to Boris Johnson. So it's just a stark
It's just
contrast.
Decline. No, it's just basically decline from 1945. It's a bit like the country itself, actually.
So lots to say about him. I mean, poor Theresa May out and Boris Johnson in, you know, those quotes that he said, you know, there's a better chance of him getting hit by a champagne cork than ever becoming prime minister. And now here he is.
Well, he's probably the only guy I know that could open a champagne bottle and impale himself
eye. Yes, impale himself.
You know, with a probability of 0.9. All right. So what is there seriously to say about Boris? So he was on Top Gear once.
Mm-hmm.
And Clarkson said to him, you know, most people, as I paraphrase, right? Most people have a kind of a sheen of competence that they wear. And if you scratch beneath it, you find out they're complete Muppets. You behave like a complete Muppet, but you actually seem to be quite competent. To which Boris, to his credit, said, no, it's 100% Muppet. Oh, honestly, it really is. So if you talk to people who know him, they actually all agree that he's actually really, really smart.
Oh, right? So he's deflecting.
But he is also, he loves to play the buffoon and all the rest of it, right? And, you know, it's part of the charm, et cetera, right? But there is also part of him which is astonishingly egotistical. You see this in his rise to power, right? He didn't give a damn about Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped on the bandwagon because he thought it'd be good for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about 350 million quid going to the NHS, the National Health Service, if you leave, et cetera, it was a flat out lie.
Uh-huh.
And he willingly associated himself and promulgated that lie. So, you know, I would trust him literally as far as I could throw him after 6 months of working out intensively. Does this mean anything drastically changes in British politics? Well, he said, you know, it's Halloween come hell or high water for Brexit. And I think that he's serious about that. I also, as you know, have been continually saying that we're going to get a hard Brexit. Nobody in Britain seems to believe this, but I think they're all just in denial.
Uh-huh.
I think that I did a Twitter thing yesterday when it was announced, and I basically said, here's the next 12 months, so we'll see if it's right. Boris comes in, King Boris of Brexit land.
Uh-huh.
He goes for a hard Brexit. He knows there'll be a shock to the pound. He compensates by doing massive tax cuts. This blows out the deficit, but gilts, government bonds barely move because that's the way markets are behaving just now. They just don't care. That cushions some of the Brexit shock, and all of that will be balanced with another round just swinging austerity cuts to local government budgets, probably in about 2 years' time, all to the greater good of Boris. Now, what could derail this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like the Labour Party is really beginning to come apart over Corbyn's inability to have an actual positive stance on Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I've maintained before, that's because his stance is he doesn't really care about winning the election. He wants to destroy the Conservative Party.
Right.
So it's a question of which outcome prevails, right? If you get a hard Brexit, does that benefit Boris or does it blow up the Tories? Does that benefit Labour, even if it blows up the current Corbyn configuration of Labour? It's all coming to a head at Halloween.
from this side of things, on this side of the ocean, it feels like there's more confidence in Johnson navigating the Brexit waters than there was with Theresa May. And is that, or is it just there's a new person and a new someone to project your feelings onto?
Well, there's certainly part of that. But ultimately, all these choices are down to what the EU will give you.
Yeah.
So, you know, for all of Theresa May's sort of, you know, terrible hand-wringing and bad presentation skills and all the rest of it, you know, she did actually work out a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any deal that you get is going to be worse than the one you already have, but you've voted that one down.
Yeah.
And now you've voted that other one down five times. So, you know, Boris might be a brilliant spinmeister, but it's going to be really hard to say, right, here's what we're going to do. The same thing that you voted five times. I've got some cosmetic changes,
right,
and maybe with a bit of smoke and mirrors and a couple of quotes about Carthage, we'll get through this. I'm skeptical.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like the MPs would easily suss that out, that it's just cosmetic. And
right. And, you know, it depends on how serious the European Research Group, in other words, the hardline Brexiters, really want to push it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But anyway, my money's still on a hard Brexit.
Okay. It's
on
just
Halloween. It's just too,
it's too
good historically, right? It really has to be the hardest of Brexits on Halloween. It's just, you know, Saw 2, that sort of stuff.
Well, I felt like there's a good sort of harbinger in that the workers, the baggage handlers at Heathrow are striking right now. It's supposed to end. But I was just joking around. My partner who told me, and I said, is this in, you know, because of Boris? And of course it was not. But it's just, you know, all of these things happening all
at once.
Well,
I'll tell you who is just livid but also delighted with Boris are the Scots.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you were to do if you were to say to Scottish people, can you draw me a cartoon of an insensitive upper class Tory who would wind up a Scottish person? It would literally be a portrait of Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want NDREF too.
Yeah.
Well on course for like 2 years from now, definitely.
Is his hair real?
It's the Trump question.
Trump hair,
you know,
yeah.
It's
okay.
Trump hair. Speaking of Trump, Carrie, something that I've been meaning to say to you for a while is why don't you go back where you came from?
Well, so I am actually headed back there to Michigan because my niece
to
is
Michigan.
Getting married.
That's great, absolutely.
In a couple of weeks, so I'm really excited.
So, of course, what was I referring to, though?
Yes, no, thank you. So it's hard to know what to say about this because there's so many and yet so little, so few things to say about this. But of course, this is about president's tweets to the four congresswomen about going back to where they came from. And what's interesting is reading the hot and heavy reporting from the Washington Post and New York Times is that he seemingly didn't know what nerve he was touching as he tweeted that stuff out at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Look, if you go to the big book of racist insults, halfway down page one is why don't you go back where you came from? I mean, come on,
seriously? It's not that far into the volume.
No, really, it's not.
No.
It's like preface and then second paragraph, if not first.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we believe that reporting, he didn't, and his advisors, of course, are scrambling to sort out and no one wanted to deal with it. They didn't know what to say. Have you ever gotten that? Go back to where you came from.
Oh, actually, I have. But it's kind of funny. As a sort of like white bloke, right?
Yeah.
I get this for being sort of, you know, sometimes seemingly a bit lefty in my politics, right?
Crazy.
And so people who disagree with that say, well, if you don't like it here, why don't you go back if you came from it? And what they refer to there isn't a sort of an ethnic claim or a nationalist or a racist claim. It's a political claim, right? You know, if you want Scandinavia, why don't you go back there?
Yeah.
And I go, well, because I'm from Scotland. But nonetheless, it's a very different cadence of a different use of that. And it said in a very different way from the way it was said there.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you really buy that Trump didn't know what he's doing? I mean, isn't this a brilliantly effective strategy for demonizing the Democrats?
What I was thinking too is that, I mean, a couple of things. Yes, demonizing the Democrats. And no one's excited from the Republican base about Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. Like, it's like a snooze fest. But what his base does get excited about is putting the face of the Democratic Party as those four, like, radical, you know, the term radical liberal women. And I think in that way, it is a really brilliant electoral strategy to get them really excited because the economy is doing really well right now. Unemployment, I guess I don't care whether I have a job or not. And tariffs, like, I don't understand that. But the thing that I do care about are these like four women that are just rabble rousers and stirring the pot. And that gets me excited to go to the voting booth and vote for Trump. So in that way, I think, you know, all the racist tropes that he can use, it does get his base excited.
I mean, you know, so the most resonant issue seems to be immigration with a large part of the base. So you've got women who are friendly to immigrants, who look like immigrants, who are women who are politically on the left.
Yes.
I mean, if you want the poster children of Republican opposition, It's right there.
Well, in an election that's going to be a choice, it's going to be Donald Trump not running on his record, but here's I'm not going to get, look at the Democrats, they're going to give stuff to all these people that don't deserve it. And so you want to vote for me. That's exactly what he wants illustrating to them and really campaigning on as well. So I think it's one of those crazy like a Fox moments.
Do you think it's going to work?
Yeah, I mean, 13 seconds of send her back. I mean, if it were a year from now, it would be even better for him. But he's got to fire up his base to get them excited about all the stuff that they should be excited about. And one thing they might be excited about this transition is so tough, is if they ever rented a Bird scooter.
Oh, you mean basically how do you get to a rally?
Yes.
Given that the traffic's so bad, you might want to use a Bird scooter. And what's the news about those? Are they, no, Lime, are the, they're the green ones, right? So what color are Bird?
They're white and black.
The white and black ones, right? So so what's the dealio with the scooterios?
Well, they're valued at, they're $2.5 billion with a B.
Is this for an IPO?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. The next time somebody talks about the rationality of capitalism and its efficient use of resources, just give me that one again, will you?
But Mark, I think that you and I are like, we went to totally the wrong professions. Like, why didn't we just put scooters out there on the street with like a GPS and you can rent them and scoot everywhere you want? Like,
I know what I'm going to do. Puppies. You know? I'm going to just get puppies and put GPSs on them and let them loose in the street. You can basically have it for a few hours and then you can leave it.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with the dogs? That's the same business model. Well, then you don't have to feed it. You don't have to pick up the shit.
Oh, that's a good point. Right?
Then you basically, you can vary your puppy every day.
And you just leave it at wherever you want.
And then a van comes past and picks them up.
But here's my question about valuations like that. Isn't it totally fake? I mean, the Bird scooter is made to last about 10 minutes, right?
Oh, I don't know if we spoke about this. Did we talk about the Uber IPO the last time we did this?
We must have, yeah.
We must have. If you get so one of the few times in the United States that financial companies and so on actually are forced to tell the truth is in IPO documents. And if you have a look at the Uber IPO, it actually contains the following line: this company may never make any money. And that was $40 billion. So $2.5 billion for a bunch of scooters that are basically doing a kind of dump it here and then get knocked down in traffic because you're an arsehole on a scooter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why is that number $2.5 billion? My puppies should be $7 billion, at least $7 billion.
And the puppies will last longer than 18 months, I feel like.
Well, the thing is, they're puppies, right? So you can only actually have them for 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, but then they become dogs and that can be your, like, you know, your emotional safety.
Then it could be emotional support rentals.
Support, not safety, yes.
My God, it's perfect.
Well, actually, on this line, the Facebook, the Securities Commission came out with the fine for Facebook. And I know this is a common theme in our podcast, but it's a $5 billion worth of fines.
Mm-hmm. This relates to the Cambridge Analytica scandal and the 58 million user data files and all the
does
rest
Facebook
of it.
Does Facebook just write a check to the government?
I think actually they've probably got $5 billion lying around the back of Mark's sofa spare change. They just like look around the back of the sofa, hand it over and say, please go away, annoying regulator person. We're changing the world.
This doesn't really dent Facebook at all.
Not at all.
I mean, it's just bad PR.
It's not even bad PR. They don't care. Think about what they're doing. They're trying to basically bring their entire platform private. So here's how I think about this. When they started to regulate hedge funds a little bit more after the financial crisis, some of the really big funds, Soros's, for example, went private. Mm-hmm. So I'm no longer taking in other people's money. I'm just managing the fund for the sake of the fund. So essentially, you can kind of analogize this to Facebook. They're going to take the thing private, which basically means you're part of the club and it's a closed thing and stuff everybody else and stuff the regulator and everyone else. And then stage two of this is, of course, Libra. Let's
crypto.
Have our own currency. Now, you know, we could do an entire an entire podcast on this, but essentially there's a reason companies don't issue currency and countries do. Countries have the intergenerational capacity to tax. Countries are backed up by militaries. Countries have credible claims to physical resources.
Yeah.
And if you want to swap all your dollars for basically a crypto that's tied to the dollar so that you can use it instead of dollars in a company that's priced in dollars on the stock market, let me know why that's a good idea.
But doesn't this also mean that Facebook is going to sell something that I want to buy in my crypto? So they're going to sell me coffee or, I don't know, like Pepto-Bismol or something?
But if they go closed, they might say, okay, if you want to use this from now on, because we've got you, you're kind of legacy customers, right? Grandma, you want to keep sharing the pictures? Now what you got to do is you got to buy at least $100 worth
of Libras. Okay.
And that's the only way you can play in the site.
And whether I actually end up using it, they don't care because they've got my $100.
Right, exactly.
That's how they work.
And, you know, and if you do it in their ambition to bank the unbanked globally, God help us, right? I mean, yes, there are some rotten countries out there with rotten fiscal capacities and terribly volatile currencies. And maybe then a crypto might be an attractive thing. And Facebook's probably better than the government of X, right, shall we say, right? I mean, Venezuelan bolivars versus cryptos at this point, you know, I might even go for the cryptos, right? So if that's the case, you can imagine that they might have an appeal. But then basically what you're doing is trying to be lender of last resort, liquidity provider, unit of account, unit of exchange, all that big grown-up stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the adjunct of a platform for shoving pics around.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not good.
I mean, so the Winklevosses from Facebook, they have their thing called Facebook's Libra?
Yeah.
And so they have Gemini. That's their crypto. So using all the signs from the zodiac. But
can we issue one called Cancer?
Yes. You go dark fast.
I do, don't I?
But their whole social platform is that, of course, they're giving banking and access to financial services to the unbanked. But your point is, let's do the grown-up stuff and actually fix the financial structure of fill-in-the-blank country instead of just trying to circumvent it with a bunch of smoke and mirrors.
Absolutely. I mean, how do you? I mean, if you do go this route, right? So imagine you're in, you know, whatever bad country X, right? How does having this currency, this thing, help you buy a pint of milk?
It's so confusing because it's not
at the end of the day.
Hand.
The only question you should ever ask for a currency, right? You think of it, should Scotland have its own currency after independence, right? Why would anybody want this?
Yeah.
And if you can't answer the question, why would anybody want this? It's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, even in countries where they want it, the dollar still works. I mean, so many countries are like, they want the dollar bill.
Exactly.
They want their own.
So we're going to swap dollars for something that's backed by dollars that isn't a dollar.
Seems at odds with each other.
Exactly.
How did you survive the heat wave over the weekend? What did you do?
So I went to Little Compton where it was 20 degrees cooler.
Oh, that sounds so lovely.
Which really was. It was still hot, but you'd just get near the shore. Right?
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, I went to the beach.
Uh-huh.
And I made sure that my loved ones were covered in SPF sweater.
Yeah.
And then I borrowed someone else's and it turned out it was SPF -5. So you can't actually see it, but from my neck to my navel, I am the color of a boiled lobster.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Painful.
But anyway, so I survived.
Yeah.
Europe's not. Europe's now in the grip of its second heat wave. Records are tumbling everywhere. We're about to start the California, oh my God, everything's burning season. Yeah.
And the hurricane season coming up.
And the hurricane season coming up.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is, you know, again, our friend global warming, right? I mean, you know, it's not real. It's a hoax. All right. Well, what's one of the things we're pretty sure that we can say about this is that the distribution of events is going to become more skewed. What does that mean? It means that the events that happen in the tail of the distribution will become more frequent.
Yeah.
They will move out of the tail. So you will have more heat waves that will be more intense. You will have more hurricanes that will be more intense, et cetera, et cetera. And that seems to be exactly what we're seeing. Now, the big problem for this is in Europe is they don't actually have enough AC.
Yeah. But actually, I think that's good, right? So you went to the shore. I went to New York City where it's 70 degrees hotter than it is anywhere else.
It's actually 210 Celsius, right?
But I was thinking about it, of course, as you walk down, you see all the window units that they're actually making everything hotter. And I understand like we need all the stuff, but actually we didn't have them. It'd be slightly cooler, right? And our bodies do adjust. So maybe the Europeans are onto something.
But here's the thing. You got all these old people because Europe's very old, right?
Yes.
So they're health vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you get more AC? You burn more fossil fuels to make the electricity to run them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, oh, God, really?
I know. And it just is never, we really can't escape it.
We need to.
Yes, we really do.
So, but an interesting little anecdote as well. So you know how New York City had a blackout?
Was it
2 weeks? Was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think,
so I was staying at a hotel south of Central Park when it all went down. Yeah, so basically I was with the family and we have a visitor in from Europe and we're walking around Central Park.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to this local pizza joint on 5th or 6th. And all the lights are out and the sirens are going.
I mean, there's no street lights.
There's
nothing.
No street lights. And of course, I'm like, oh, I know what this is. It's a blackout. So we go to our hotel And it shows you the utter helplessness of mankind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only people in this hotel are basically tourists, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's say that most of the tourists that, you know, you'll find wandering around New York City, yeah, they're not in great physical shape,
yes,
right?
Yes, yep.
And their ability to climb stairs when AC is on is limited at best. So if you have a 50-story hotel,
oh, Lord,
and the elevators are out, you just end up with 1,000 people crowded into, yeah, the lobby, like literally, yeah, like beached whales.
Yeah.
We had to basically step over all these people to get to the back stairs.
Yeah.
Now, we were on the 7th floor, so like iPhones, yeah, up, boom, pack,
right,
the bags, get out,
yeah,
and go. And we went and stayed with a friend, right? But I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, take this as a metaphor for mankind.
Yes.
What happens if we get a really systemic power failure?
Well, and what's interesting is ComEd hasn't said why, but they're like, oh, it's just an outage somewhere. But they've never actually said.
I think it was meant to be a transformer fire. I don't know if that was concerned.
Okay.
But the reason you get this stuff is because we don't spend any money on infrastructure.
I know, even
if you solve the input energy problem, right, you're not upgrading the grid.
Yeah.
And because of that, with these hotter spikes, you're,
yep,
just going to get more and more of this stuff,
yep,
which is why I'm buying a backup generator for the house.
Oh, yeah. And then you probably have a
power off the gas.
You have the panic room in the basement too.
No, I've got a music room.
Okay.
We could turn that into a panic room. We'll call it Panic
attack
at the Disco.
Yeah, panic at the, so, but I mean, it's dark. The entire island of Manhattan is dark, right? Because there's no lights.
It wasn't entire. It was basically a big wallop of it from Chelsea and 14th Street up to Central Park,
okay,
and a bit of the Upper West Side.
But that's just, I mean, because you're never in a city where there's not some light coming from
you
somewhere.
You know, a spooky thing. It was exactly 40 years to the day from the big blackout
the
when
big
that
one
happened.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts, huh?
Wow. The universe really giving us.
So anyway, Europe, and it's not even August yet. So they had a huge heat wave that broke all the records in June.
Yep.
They had the hottest June ever. We're about to have the hottest July ever. We'll have the hottest August ever.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be another one.
Yeah.
John's sitting here. He's going to Portugal. He's probably going to like turn into bacon while he's there.
Right.
So, you know.
But then we'll have crazy cold winter, right?
We'll have a crazy cold winter.
It'll be your tail.
The extremes,
yep,
exactly.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Well, let's end on something happy, and that,
yes,
is the World Cup. Because the
US
women.
Not just any World Cup.
No. Like the US women play, I mean, they were amazing and incredible and win the World Cup.
How dare you beat the Lionesses?
I know.
You horrible people, by being much better than everyone else. It's so unfair.
Well, what's interesting is, for me, in stark contrast to the men, like the teams, the Swedish women's team looked like there were no immigrants on that.
There was one person who
was
tall, blonde and white.
Yeah.
And I think she was on the bench.
Oh, jeez.
But it was an exercise in,
yeah,
like, oh, I guess they're the Swedes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, of course, I mean,
does the American team, the team that was on the field, look particularly diverse?
There were two or three African-American women. I think the listeners would probably let me know if there's more. And they are fairly diverse in terms,
right,
of soccer, knowing that soccer isn't particularly diverse. But of course, you know, the policy behind the policy that many of the women are talking about, that they sued, was about pay equity.
Exactly. That's
and
the
they
big
didn't
one.
Back down. And
no,
that's what
absolutely.
I thought was pretty.
So where is this going? I mean, are they getting pay equity? I mean, is it still sort of out with the jury, as it were?
Yeah, I think it's still out with the jury, and that is being going through the legal system because,
mm-hmm,
they sued the body that runs women's soccer. Of course, you have to love Megan Rapinoe, or not. You don't.
Or not.
Right.
Exactly.
Or actually not like her at all as the president. But she's such a spokesperson for the team and for pay equity, and also just for not allow. I mean, they've really kept the conversation on this one thing,
mm-hmm,
and to not, yes, celebrate. Right, but really with an eye towards making sure that they're paid the same amount as
no,
the men.
No, absolutely. Well, they,
yeah,
should be. I mean, they're professional athletes. I mean,
yeah,
I read something recently about the Brazilian women's national team basically being stuck on the floor of a hotel because the credit card to pay their rooms, you know, wouldn't,
yeah,
work or something like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's such second class status. But, you know, these are global events. You're,
yes,
getting millions and millions of viewers.
Yes.
Advertisers involved. That means there's tons of money being made.
Yep.
So it's all going into FIFA's back pocket once again. And just right off bat, that is totally,
yes,
ridiculous.
I mean, this encompasses so many different sports. But you think about the jerseys they're selling,
yeah,
with their names on
totally,
the back and
absolutely,
all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
So what else is going on for the summer then? What can we look forward to? We're recording this towards the end of July. Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, I mean, you'll really like this. We have more Democratic debates.
Oh,
Big
God,
D Democratic debates
me.
Coming
save
up at the end of the month.
Is my dog Lucy a part of it yet? Did she get her own debate?
Not yet, but maybe in September. The
maybe
75
September.
People
okay.
running.
Right.
There'll be 17 nights of debates with three tiers. And then, you know, they'll push the button and the floor will fall out.
That would just be awesome. Yeah.
But it's actually almost the same setup as the first debates in terms of Warren and Sanders, I think, are together one night, and Kamala and Joe Biden are together the next night.
Is Biden's campaign going anywhere?
Is he still running?
That's the thing, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, it's really, it's kind of like, hey, Biden stepped into the ring and disappeared.
Yeah, and then just quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah.
It's like a stealth campaign.
Or it's like he's just like, I'm going to, total expectations of winning and
right.
doesn't
and
think
therefore,
that he has to,
why spend
have to
any
do more.
Time and energy on it just now?
It'll be interesting to see if he comes out with some pointed stuff towards her at all, or
yeah.
whether he just kind of sits back again. But anyway, around a billion of the 10
trillion.
What would
be hilarious
debates.
If he actually just came out honestly and said, look, I'm not going to actually debate with you about this. Here's the deal, right?
Yeah.
You are a woman of color. And for that reason, millions of white American men will never vote for you, whereas they will vote for me. We're done.
Or he, and then he said,
if he just said that, right? I mean, it would
be
it would
be
like, you know, what would you do with that? I refuse to talk about issues, whatever. This is all about defeating Trump.
Yeah.
And to defeat Trump, you need to get at least some white guys on your side.
Yeah. And then we could make it into a reality TV show, and he says, will you be my vice president? And bends down on one knee.
Ooh,
now, I mean,
like
just to
it.
Add a twist
I
to
like
that.
It.
But right, to add this dose, but add this yeah. dose of reality to it, which
well, exactly.
is
just
this,
this point
yeah.
of like, you know, well, you know, it's a, in a sense, the stealth race conversation amongst
yes.
the Democrats, right?
Yeah.
Why is Joe there? Because he's a 70-year-old white dude.
Right.
That's it. That's the
right.
only reason, right? So why not actually bring that out into the open and say,
yeah.
like, if that's the only thing you've got,
yeah.
right? You know, let's talk about it.
Well, and do the candidates of color either get mobilize the Republicans to turn out, or do they put the Obama coalition together to turn out? Of course, that's the million-dollar question that nobody,
well, exactly.
that nobody knows. I mean, that's on this side of the ocean. Is there, I mean, Boris Johnson will be sworn in and his hair.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, there is a chance he could call snap elections as well,
yeah.
right? So he could do that because, you know, Jeremy's making such a hash of it in terms of the single-minded focus on making him do a hard Brexit. So that could derail things. So you could have an early British election. But usually Europe shuts down for August.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most annoying things about being an academic researcher who works a lot in Europe and on
yeah.
Europe is that if I want to talk to anyone in Europe, like, if I don't do it literally by about the 21st of July,
nothing.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
You're not getting anybody until the 16th
yeah.
of September.
Whoa.
They're gone. Right, absolutely. And
like,
all of it, I mean, you know, because they yeah. believe in this thing called vacation.
It's so much healthier.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah.
it's bloody annoying if you're trying to get a hold of anyone. But the great
yeah.
thing about it is, I mean, it's a bit like, you know, my favorite example is Belgium and the financial crisis. So Belgium's debt to GDP ratio was second only to Greece or something, or maybe it was Italy at that point in time. And they didn't suffer any of the calls from Fitch or Standard Poor's and that sort of stuff. And why not? It's because they didn't have a government. Like they were unable to form a government
yeah.
for 18 months, so there was literally
yeah.
no one around to screw it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a nice thing when everybody goes on holiday,
yeah.
you can't screw things up that much.
Well, no, I like the idea that because there's no one there, nothing, and it can just kind of run.
Exactly. So imagine basically
yeah.
you get the federal government workers to do
yes.
their stuff, right?
Yes.
They do the paychecks, they do
yep.
Social Security, whatever, right? And you don't shut down the government. You just shut down Congress.
I mean, it shows that the politics are what gums up the entire system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a nice anti-democratic
yes.
note to end
yes.
on. Unused. I don't know how we got there.
I don't know how we did, but I like it.
So
it
this is Carrie and Mark from the
yes.
New Fascist Party.
yes. I wish you could put a different brand on that. The new, you know.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Like the new puppy love party.
The
something.
New puppy love. Come for
yeah.
us, our GPS puppies.
Yes. Coming out. We're rolling out Providence.
I know
first.
I'm calling it Digital Cuddles.
Oh,
it's admit it, it's good. It's
it
so
is good.
Good.
The app is going to be awesome.
The app's going to, exactly. Get your woof.
Yeah. With a little paw print.
Oh.
Call us with the investors, please.
Investors,
call us.
Please.
Yeah.
You know where
yeah.
to find us.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
Well, thank you. Have a great rest of your summer. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back in the fall.